A man who's been locked in a maximum security mental health facility for more than a decade says he wants to put the concept of mental illness on trial. Rodney Yoder completed a prison term for aggravated battery back in 1991, but he's been involuntarily confined ever since. Prison and mental health officials in Illinois call Yoder a time bomb too dangerous to be released. NPR's Cheryl Corley reports that Yoder's case highlights the controversy over holding people against their will after they've served their sentences.
Just about everyone who knows Rodney Yoder agrees he is intelligent and driven. He's written letters, created a website, and made numerous phone calls in his effort to free himself from the mental health facility in Chester, a small town in downstate Illinois. Automated steel doors slowly slide open and clang shut, allowing entrance into the residential area of the state's only maximum security mental health center. It is a home of criminal defendants unfit to stand trial and to patients with severe behavior problems. Rodney Yoder was transferred here in 1991 after serving a prison term for hitting his former wife.
I'm here because I'm outnumbered 600-1 and can't leave. I'm physically confined in a building is why I'm here. Otherwise, I would get up and walk out. I can't do that. I am physically deprived of my liberty.
Yoder, who is 44, often speaks in rapid-fire sentences. His strident persistence has caused even supporters to seek relief. Some have asked the mental health center to prohibit Yoder from calling them. Yoder defends his demeanor, saying he is justifiably angry, but the state calls him dangerous and mentally ill. This is his second stint in a psychiatric facility. After punching a girlfriend in 1979, he landed in prison. Alarmed by threatening letters he wrote, prison officials revoked good time credit he had earned. Yoder sued and won. However, the prison warden had him involuntarily committed for several weeks. This latest confinement began after Yoder pleaded guilty but mentally ill for hitting his ex-wife. Later, he said he had been duped into making the plea. When his sentence was up, he was transferred to Chester. The director was the prison warden he had sued years earlier.
And the first week I was here, I was told frankly by guards, administrators, psychologists, and social workers that I would be held here indefinitely for, quote, writing up, unquote, state officials.
Yoder has had several hearings to determine whether he should continue to be confined. He calls them shams. For example, he says the judge involved in his case was a former prosecutor who represented the state during Yoder's first involuntary commitment proceeding. The current prosecutor, Michael Burke, dismisses Yoder's charges.
He's had nothing but fair trials here. Nothing but fair trials. It's not vindictive. I mean, the petition is filed by doctors, the petitions are filed by social workers, people that know Rodney Yoder, I would say better than anybody else, and they file the petitions asking that he be recommitted.
Involuntary commitments are legal in more than 30 states. In Illinois, for example, more than 3,000 people were involuntarily admitted to psychiatric facilities in the year 2000. And while such commitments are not unusual, one of Yoder's length is. He's lived at the Chester facility nearly twice as long as the average patient, including some who have committed brutal crimes. Civil libertarians have long questioned the idea that a person can be locked up for a longer time in a mental hospital for a crime he or she didn't commit than for a crime they've been convicted of. Greg Block, a Georgetown University law professor, says there is no time clock. A person's stay in a mental facility can be indefinite as long as doctors believe the individual is mentally ill and a harm to either himself or others. Block says Yoder's refusal to take any medication contributes to the state's assessment that he is ill and a poor prospect outside the hospital.
One of the indicators greater connection with reality and a better prognosis outside the hospital is insight into having a mental illness. That all assumes, of course, that he has a mental illness. And if somebody is locked into conflict with prison officials and as a result of that conflict believes that prison officials are out to get him in some sense, where's the line between deep anger at somebody with whom he's in conflict and delusional ideation.
Block says figuring that out would require a good independent evaluation by a psychologist with no ties to Chester's prison or mental health facility. However, outside assessments are not required by law, and in the past, Yoder has said he was too poor to hire an independent psychologist. Officials say Yoder is competent enough to make a decision about whether or not to take medication, but they say until he shows he is not a threat to society, he won't be released. They've diagnosed him as delusional and paranoid. They point to another round of threatening letters Yoder wrote to celebrities and public officials during his stay in Chester. Yoder says those letters were simply a ruse designed to get him prosecuted and transferred to a federal facility so he could have a fixed sentence. Now, Yoder and his attorney say they're ready to challenge the psychiatric world by putting the whole concept of mental illness on trial.
I'm asserting that not only do I not have mental illness, but nobody has mental illness, nobody has ever had mental illness, and nobody ever will have mental illness. It's a metaphor. It has nothing to do with illness, real illness or disease, or anything at all to do with medicine.
The door is nailed shut to that kind of argument.
Professor Block says philosophers and scientists debated whether mental illness was a social construct in the 1960s and 70s, but he says the courts were never open to the idea. Even so, through an intense letter-writing campaign and phone calls, Yoder has attracted a wide range of supporters, including Dr. Thomas Szasz, considered the father of the anti-psychiatry movement. Szasz calls Yoder's commitment preventive detention and says he should be let go.
He served his criminal sentence, and according to American law, he's entitled to his liberty, as I understand American law. He has paid his debt to society.
Yoder supporters also say the writings of psychiatrist E. Fuller Torrey are also a clear example of why Yoder should be released. Torrey heads the Treatment Advocacy Center in Arlington, Virginia, and is a proponent of involuntary commitment. He's written, it may be difficult to find any American psychiatrist who has not exaggerated the dangerousness of a mentally ill person's behavior to obtain a judicial order for commitment.
And that has to do with the fact that the laws are written in such a way that it's extremely difficult to get help to get treatment for an individual with a severe mental illness because the state laws have been changed over the last 30 years to make that extremely difficult. And because it's extremely difficult, it is not at all uncommon for family members and, in some cases, psychiatrists like myself to exaggerate the symptoms in order to be able to get the person in the hospital to get them treatment. Now, whether or not this is true in Mr. Yoder's case, I have no idea.
That will be up to a jury to decide at Yoder's next commitment hearing in December. Supporters and opponents of involuntary commitment are expected to keep a close watch. Meantime, Yoder says if he does win his release, he will devote his efforts to speaking out against what he calls forced psychiatry. Cheryl Corley, NPR News, Chester, Illinois.